We'll begin our reading in verse number 18. Let's look together. Let's back up and read this whole section. I like it all. Let's look at verse 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say unto thee that thou art Peter. Upon this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let's pray together. Father, we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, that you'd help us to preach tonight. Lord, I pray that you give us a spiritual mind to think with this evening, spiritual lips to speak with. I pray, God, that you'd meet with us in a special way. We thank you, Lord, for this missionary, God, the work that's been done there in South America. Certainly we know there's a work to be done here at the church tonight. God, would you give your people attentive ears? Lord, help them to hear the Word of God tonight. Lord, would you help us, Father, to preach in a demonstration and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Bless us now as only you can. Touch us, be pleased in thy sight. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want us to look tonight here in these verses, familiar, very, very familiar verses of Scripture, of course, where Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, "Who do men say that I am?" Now he's asking them. He said, "Around town, what do they say about me? What have they been saying? What does people think that I am?" Well, they began to speak out. They said, "Well, some of them say that you're Elijah." In other words, you look at the Old Testament account of Elijah. He was a man of power, a man able to work miracles. And they said, surely, when they see Jesus, they said, surely that Jesus must be a reincarnation of Elijah, because he's got power and he's able to work miracles. Another one piped up, said, "No." Said that what I'm hearing is that they'll say that you are Jeremiah. And when you study the book of Jeremiah and the book of Lamentations, you'll find that Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. And so when they looked at the Lord, they said, "The way you cry, the way you love, the way you are concerned, people think that you must be Jeremiah." But he wasn't Jeremiah, and he wasn't Elijah. And you know that Herod thought he was John the Baptist. As a matter of fact, Herod said that when he heard about Jesus, said, "Boy, I guess John the Baptist has risen from the dead." Amen. Somebody said, "Let me get on this, and I'm going to get in my message tonight." Somebody said, "Reckon what kind of preaching Jesus did." Well, apparently he preached a lot like John the Baptist, because Herod thought he was John the Baptist. I hear people all the time saying, "Well, let's just be like Jesus." And what they're trying to say is, "Let's be timid. Let's be meek. Let's let everybody run over us." But that wasn't Jesus, amen. He preached like John. John run his bony finger out in Herod's face and told him that it was not right for him to have his brother Philip's wife. And he didn't back down from that. And apparently Jesus preached a lot the same way as John the Baptist. Now Jesus looks at Peter and he says, "But whom do ye say that I am?" Peter piped up right quick. He said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." Now I'm interested in what Jesus said back to Peter. He said there, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Maybe I'll get an amen right here. I'm glad to be a part of something that hell can't take over. Oh yes, Fred, seems like hell has taken over everything on our planet. I'm glad to be a part of something that hell can't touch. And that is the church of the living God. I don't know about you tonight, but I sure am glad to be on board the old ship of Zion. I'm glad to report to you this evening that's an unsinkable ship. Oh yes, friend. I'm glad to be on it tonight. I make no bones about my love for the local New Testament church. I make no bones about that. How we live in a time where everything is belittled. Everything's made fun of. Anything of God. Everything that's of God's made fun of. Church is belittled, made fun of. I'm going to tell you tonight, I'm still glad to be a part of the church. I'm still glad to be on the old ship of Zion. I'm going to preach on that a little while tonight. I'm going to preach a little while this evening on the unsinkable ship. I'm glad that I am on the unsinkable ship. Now everybody knows the story of the Titanic. And how that way back yonder in 1912, the Titanic set sail, left England, Southampton, England, started toward New York City. Everybody that wrote papers at that time talked about the fact that there was no way that you could sink the Titanic. As a matter of fact, I believe one of the stewards said that God himself could not sink that ship. And so Lloyd's of London, they insured the Titanic, presuming that it was probably unsinkable due to its construction and the watertight compartments and the way that it had been put together. Everybody considered it an unsinkable ship. But my friend, out in the North Atlantic, one cold night, the unsinkable ship disappeared below the icy depths. And of course, you know the story. Back in 95, they made that movie about the Titanic. They came out with those different things. A Canadian team that had discovered the Titanic. And through some research that they'd done on it, what they discovered was that the Titanic was made out of inferior steel, had inferior rivets, and really it was a floating disaster. It was just waiting to sink. And so that ship went down. But can I report to you tonight that I'm on the old ship of Zion? Hey, she's sailed through the rough waters. Amen. She's been through the rocky seas. I'm glad to report to you the church tonight's not going down, thank God. The church is a-going up. Amen. I've just had it on my heart today to preach on the old ship of Zion. Thank God, the unsinkable ship. I'm glad that it'll hold up through all of the stormy passes. Amen. I want us to look tonight a little bit at this ship. I want us to talk about the church tonight. I want us to think this evening about its construction. You think about the construction of a ship. Now, no ship ever ends up on the sea without it first has a concept. In other words, there has to be a conception. There's somebody that goes to a drawing board, my friend, and draws out that ship. The Titanic was drawn out. It had 9 decks. This is just a few facts. It had 9 decks, 2 main engines, 3 huge propellers, 29 boilers, and 20 lifeboats. They'd drawn it out. Somebody sat with a board and they drew it out. Last year we went on a cruise, first time I'd ever been out on the ocean, and out there sailing on that big cruise ship. Everything had been drawn out and thought out. Every little compartment on that ship had a purpose. You see, when you build a ship, you don't waste no space, amen? And so every little compartment had a purpose. Can I say this to you tonight? That the old ship of Zion that we're on, the church of the living God, was designed by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As a matter of fact, the Bible said in Ephesians 1:4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Can I report to you tonight, thank God that God saw the church completed
before the church was even started. Amen. And I'm on board something tonight. You say, preacher, how do you know the church is going to make it through? Because the Lord said that it would. And the Lord designed it. This is the Lord's doings. It ought to excite us to death tonight. To be a part of something, my friend, that the Lord designed. And that the Lord started. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If I was designing a church, I wouldn't build it with what He's built it with. I wouldn't. Because you know what He's built it with? He's built it with some of the sorriest gutter drunks in the community. Oh, I'd have picked better people. He's built it with some of the outcasts of society. And such were some of you. So the material He picked is not the material I'd have picked. I'm glad, thank God, He's in charge. And so we see that it's conception. The Lord conceived this ship. The Lord conceived. Then we see also its construction. Now the Titanic had construction faults. They didn't know anything about them. I mean, they thought they had done everything just right in designing and putting together the Titanic. But my friend, when she sank in the cold, icy waters of the North Atlantic, it was because they had used inferior metal and metal that was not riveted properly. But can I say to you tonight that the Lord has constructed His church well. In the verses that I read to you tonight, Jesus said, I will build My church. Now, I'll be honest with you this evening. Can I be honest with you? I've preached now 2 or 3 Sundays to the lost as hard as I know how. And boy, today it hit me hard for some reason. On the way home, the devil climbed up on my shoulder. Started whispering in my ear, said, boy, you're sure have made a mess, ain't you? You're washed up. Nobody's ever going to get saved under your preaching. You just, well, throw in the towel and quit. Why don't you just give up? You preached hard today. Didn't nobody get saved? You've got a real problem. But you know what? I was reminded as I say this, a voice blessing my heart. I was reminded as I say this message, it's not my job to build the church. My job is to do the work that God has sent me to do and be faithful in doing it. It's Him that's building the church. It's Him that's constructing the church. I'm glad to report to you tonight that the old ship of Zion's been put together just the way the Lord wants it. It's not rivets that holds this ship together. Oh, no. It's the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. According to Revelation chapter number 12, verse number 11, there in heaven are those that overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. I'm glad to report to you tonight, thank God, that this ark is held together by the blood. Me and Brother Neil have been talking about the ark and how that Moses pitched it within and without. And I know those of you who've been up there in the men's class, no doubt, you've heard Brother Neil talk about that pitch went between them boards, made that ark watertight, kind of a tar, almost an asphalt kind of substance that they'd mix up, make that ark watertight. And that was the pitch. But boy, that pitch is a wonderful picture of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That pitch is what was responsible for keeping the water out. Amen. I'm about to run a shout. I'm glad as the old ship of Zion makes her way toward home. Hey, God, there's some pitch, and that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it keeps the filth of the world out, and it keeps me in. Hallelujah. See, it's crew. I'm trying to hurry. Every ship has a crew. Every ship has a crew. We had a little old cabin steward when we were on that cruise, little old lady from the Philippines. She learned everybody on our hall's name. I'm not sure exactly how that's even possible. But when we'd pass her, she'd call all of us by name. And she was our little cabin steward, nice, sweet, sweet little lady from the Philippines. Every ship has a crew. They tell me there was 907 crew members on board the Titanic. Can I say to you tonight that everybody that's been saved by the grace of God has been enlisted to be on the crew of the old ship of Zion? Let me say this tonight. The Lord didn't design the old ship of Zion with any relaxing compartments. Never intended for anybody just to sit down on the old ship of Zion and ride it to glory. Oh no. He's got a job for everybody to do. There's the crew. Now let's think about this crew a minute. Let me just point out a few things. It's a crew, thank God, of sinners that are saved by grace. According to Ephesians chapter number 2. Let me say this to you tonight. It's a crew full of enemies that have been made nigh by the blood. Oh, maybe you'll shout over this one. It's a crew of dead people that have been brought back to life. And it's a crew of aliens that were brought in. Oh, my goodness, what a crew. Amen. Oh, I think about how they brought this crew together. And what a crew's supposed to do. You think about a crew on a ship. Crew's supposed to listen to the captain. That ought to be our number one job tonight, church, as the crew. Have our ears tuned toward the captain. Let me say this to you tonight. A crew is to care for the other crew members. A crew is supposed to do their job and do it well. Amen. My friend, we need to realize tonight,